Welcome, everyone, to the first episode in our fourth season of the Here's Johnny podcast. I am your host, Larry.
And I am your maybe very sad host, Justin.
Sad?
Yeah, I found out today that I might not be able to go see one of our movies that we want to go see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know for sure. You still might be able to go see it. You talk about Midsummer. We didn't realize it's an indie release.
Yeah, we...
Because it has not been promoted like that.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I figured the theater I went to go see, I mean, the new Child's Play, and they had trailers for Midsummer. You figured they'd be releasing it there, but no. The closest one is like, I just found out tonight, it's like an hour and a half away, so it'd be like 3 hours back and forth. So I'm trying to find a way there. With kids and stuff, you know, it's a little hard.
Kids make everything terrible. But besides that, Justin, what else has been new with you this week?
I tried a coconut for the first time in my life.
Okay.
Have you ever eaten a coconut?
I've had like dried coconut, and I've had coconut milk and like coffee and stuff.
But okay, never, so you've had like...
I cracked a coconut and just eaten it.
So I beat the shit out of a coconut and ate it. It was horrible. I think I like sweetened coconut better.
What propelled you to do this?
I saw a coconut in Walmart and was like, I'm going to eat that.
I did that with dragon fruit.
How was dragon fruit? Never had it.
Weird. Very, yeah. A lot of seeds. A lot of seeds in that.
Weird. Yeah. Other than that, I started playing Judgment. It's like a spiritual successor to the Yakuza games.
Okay.
And I don't know. Super Mario Maker 2 comes out next or tomorrow, actually. So I'm pretty pumped for that.
See a lot of people excited about that. I don't see the. It doesn't really do it for me.
Yeah.
Mainly because I don't want to build stuff. I do think it'd be fun playing other people's levels, though.
So that was the big thing, is like, apparently, I never played the first one, but apparently the big thing with the first one was either you're like a quote-unquote like runner or you're a maker. A lot of people didn't do both.
My good friend back home, Matt, he was a maker. And I used to go over there like once a week to his house, just like hang out and play games and stuff. And he would always have a brand new one built. And some of them were insane.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, like, I'm not like in it for the making either. I just want to play it. And
I probably could not justify spending $60 on it, though. That's probably my problem.
Oh, see, I had a bunch of like gold coins from buying a bunch of like Switch games and 3DS games. So it actually cost me.
What are gold coins?
You get them every time you buy a game digitally.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it turns out one gold coin is $1, so I only had to pay $20 for Mario Maker.
You bought 40 Switch games?
Well, no, it's like Switch games, 3DS games, I think Wii U games. I like digital.
Okay. Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah. But other than that, nothing really. What about yourself?
Sure. So I went and saw the new Child's Play on Sunday. I watched, obviously, the original for tonight's review this week. Devin and I are finishing up AP Bio. It's Dennis Reynolds. Canceled show. I'm actually really sad. It's really funny.
Oh, right. You were telling me about this actually when we were playing Borderlands.
Yeah, it's like shockingly funny. Like I didn't expect it to be as good as it is, and I'm actually really sad now that it's canceled. I wish I had watched it when it was out.
How many seasons are there?
Two.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
Yeah, it has honestly, it's the best way to describe it. It's a mix of Community and Always Sunny.
I was never into Community.
Oh, see, that's one of my favorite shows of all time.
Oh.
Yeah. So got me the Donald Glover. What else? I only have like 150 pages left in Nosferatu.
Oh, how's that going? I still haven't started listening to it.
A lot of things. A lot of things are going on. The book is fantastic. And we were talking about it, and yesterday my mind got blown because it was announced that Joe Hill is working on a specific comic line for DC.
Yeah.
And someone on Reddit posted, Joe Hill, son of Stephen King. And I'm like, what? And then I start going down the Google rabbit hole, and Joe Hill is Stephen King's son. He changed his name so he wouldn't have to have his dad's last name to prove his own.
Yeah. Huh.
And it's so funny because I told Devin when I was reading it, it's like, man, this is like a young Stephen King, and I'm hoping he can stick the landing. I'm like, King. And then I had no idea. And it's so funny because I like to think usually I'm pretty like up to date with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I had no idea.
So do you think bad endings are going to run in the family, or?
The way it's going right now, I doubt it.
Yeah. Well, that's good though.
Because he doesn't have King's problem. He's very good at keeping his character list short.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely have to start reading that, it's or listening good. To it. Or...
Like I said, I haven't, I've actually fallen behind on my podcasts. Because usually I read in the morning and listen to podcasts on the way home.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've just been reading both ways now.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And yeah, I almost have my goal. I might actually like stay up tomorrow night or maybe get up early Saturday morning and like go to the coffee shop across the street and finish it. It's fantastic. And I want to go get Heart-Shaped Box because that one sounds really cool too. And I love the movie Horns. And I know he wrote the book it's based on, so... I don't know. It's been a long time since I found an author and a book that I knew nothing about, either of them, and able to dive into it, and it's just, it's a lot of fun.
Well, I look forward to maybe hearing that review if we ever get around to it.
Yeah, and then two last things. One, this was my first, I've been on Steam for 10 years, but this was my first summer sale, and I had kind of been building a wish list, and I bought everything except for Paparazzi. Because it's not out yet.
Okay.
And what's it called? Octopath, because it wasn't on sale. Obviously, it just got released to Steam, so I doubted it would. But I picked up Final Fantasy V. I picked up Necrovision. It's a horror game. I picked up Earthlock, Curse of Monkey Island, Escape from Monkey Island. All these Monkey Islands are for Devin.
Yeah.
Fable Anniversary, Fallout, Fallout 2, Fallout Tactics.
Have fun with Tactics, by the way.
Harry Potter Lego years 5 through 7, Monkey Island 2 Special Edition, Secret of Monkey Island Special Edition, Spore, which I'm really excited about because I've only heard good things about that game.
Wait, did you actually buy Spore?
Yeah.
Why would you buy Spore?
Why would I not? Shall I return it?
5 minutes later.
And the last game I picked up was Tales of Vesperia Definitive Edition. I've never played a Tales game. But that same friend, Matt, who I talked about with the Mario Maker.
Yeah, yeah.
He swears by the Tails games.
Yeah, see, I've got a friend who swears by the Tails games also. But yeah, I've never actually tried one. I'm not a huge fan of like the overly anime RPGs.
Yeah, me either, but it was over half off.
Yeah.
And the deal is, once I beat Vesperia, then he will play a game of my choice.
Do you have your game picked out?
It's either going to be Final Fantasy X or Resident Evil 7.
Okay. Yeah, that, you got some good options there.
If he does 7, he has to play it in VR because he has the Oculus, like the one you walk around inside of and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the room scale stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So I told him he has to play it in VR. If I picked out since it's so short, he has to play it in VR and so, record himself.
I think the VR is only for the PSVR.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, either way, like, he's a good friend, and I promised him. He's the one who fixed my PlayStation. Like,
okay, yeah.
I mean, I bought the hard drive, but he installed it and fixed it all for me. So I promised him I would get it, so I got it. So I'll get to it. I'm still trying to beat, what's it called?
After Years.
Final Fantasy After Years, which is a lot of fun. But yeah. So that was a really, really long opening. One last thing, like I said, there will be a Patreon-exclusive episode dropping probably before this episode comes out. It is a book review of American Psycho. If you head over to the Patreon, we don't really plug this that much because it's not why we're doing it, but... $1 a month gets you access to all the special episodes. It's definitely our most vulgar episode just because of the nature of the book. And we need some quotes from it and stuff. But it's our first book review. We're going to try to start doing more book reviews. So if you're interested in hearing more from us, it's $1 a month. Head over to Patreon. Here's Johnny. But with that, Justin, are you ready to hop in the Child's Play?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I am.
All right, so with that, cue that epic music, and let's get this review started.
Oh.
So, Justin, I think it might be fair to say that Child's Play, and more particularly Chucky, scared me the most out of most of the big four horror film franchises when I was a kid.
Really? I sounded skeptic there for a second, but no, I get it. It's the burning doll.
Well, that, I mean, just the idea, right? Like, a slasher coming around to kill teenagers didn't do a whole lot for 7-8-year-old me, right?
Yeah.
But a doll, when I had four younger sisters with life-size dolls, and I had a buddy doll, or whatever it was called, that was, like, 3 feet tall and had curly hair.
No, thank you.
So, yeah, Child's Play had a very big impact on me, and I was apprehensive about the remake.
Well, hey, we're not here to talk about the remake.
I was going
to
say,
okay,
but that's the reason why we're finally getting to this one. But I'm excited.
So
I'm very excited to review this movie.
I think before we get into it, I would like to do something that we talked about a while ago. Right here, before we get into this review.
Sure.
I want to talk about the remake for 3 seconds.
Okay.
I think we should now, like, state whether or not people should go see it or not.
Okay, go first.
Oh, definitely. I think people should see it.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and that's we'll just leave it at that, and that way.
Yeah, because you say see it now, see it when you can, or avoid it. This is a see it now.
Oh, definitely. And I think we can just leave it at that for now, and we'll get to it next week.
Long-time listeners of the podcast definitely know my apprehension towards this film. So.
Yeah. Oh, man. You can say long-time listeners because we're almost at a year, by the way.
We'll be at a year and a month, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. All right, anyways.
Yeah, so Child's Play. It's a 1988 slasher film directed and co-written by Tom Holland, not the newest Spider-Man. He is best known for writing and directing the original Fright Night, which is one of my favorite vampire movies.
I can get down with the original Fright Night.
He directed Thinner, the Stephen King adaptation. And he wrote the sequel to Psycho in 1983.
He wrote.
I haven't seen it.
He wrote Psycho 2000 or whatever.
No, oh, he wrote Psycho 2, sequel, not right. The remake. The sequel to it.
I'm also thinking of American Psycho, so the sequel to that was garbage.
Yeah, it was produced by David Kirschner, who has a very wide variety of producing credits to his name. I have a few, but he produced the American Tail series.
Okay.
You know, a little Feifel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Going west.
Feifel Goes West. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He has done all of Mancini's Chucky films.
Okay.
Hocus Pocus.
Okay.
Titan A.E.
Oh,
and
I
that's
love
just
Titan A.E.
And that's just a few. Like, I was scrolling through his Wikipedia page looking at his, like, producer roles, and it was so wide variety, but those were the ones that caught me most off guard because they're just so all over the place. The film came from the original conception by Don Mancini, who went on to write all of the sequels, and he directed the most recent three. So, Seed, Cult, and Curse.
I think Curse and Cult are switched, right?
Yeah, one's in a house, one's in a mental asylum.
I don't think I've actually seen Curse or Cult.
They're okay.
Oh, really? I know...
They're less goofy and outland. Like, they drop the whole Seed of Chucky stuff. They're far more serious films. They drop that humor.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can get it.
Cult gets goofy in a different way, though.
Like in a B-movie kind of way?
Like in there's like 15 Chuckies.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah, goofy is the best way I can describe it. It stars Catherine Hicks, Chris Sarandon, Alex Vincent, and Brad Dourif. So Catherine Hicks, she plays Karen Barkley, Andy's mom, and she's most well known for her role as Annie Camden on Seventh Heaven and her Emmy-nominated performance as Marilyn Monroe in the 1980 documentary or whatever this was, Marilyn, The Untold Story.
I've never watched Seventh Heaven.
Either have I. I do know the dad was on a couple episodes of Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And the dad's kind of a pedophile, which is really gross. And he's in jail now.
Well, good. I'm glad he's in jail.
That's about all I know about that. Chris Sarandon plays Detective Mike Norris, and he's most well known for playing Prince Humperdinck in The Princess Bride.
Okay.
He plays Jerry Dandridge, the vampire, in Fright Night. He is the speaking voice of Jack Skellington in Nightmare Before Christmas. And he had an Oscar-nominated performance in Dog Day Afternoon.
I don't know what Dog Day Afternoon is.
It's a good movie. I mean, nothing special, but it was a pretty good movie. Which is kind of fun because I'm going to be talking about how he wasn't that good in this movie. But that's neither here nor there. Alex Vincent plays Andy. And yep. He really hasn't had any big roles, more like minor parts and minor things. But he does return to play Andy in Child's Play 2, Curse, and Cult of Chucky.
Oh, so he okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And his role in Cult is actually pretty good.
I guess I have to get around to watching those now, eh?
They were on Netflix.
Yeah.
And, like, they're nothing special, but, I mean, I can pretty much watch Brad Dourif play Chucky at any time.
Yeah.
It's usually fun. Speaking of that, Brad Dourif. So he plays Charles B. Ray and is the voice of Chucky, and he's most well known for his Oscar-nominated performance and Golden Globe and BAFTA-winning performance as Billy Babbitt in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Okay.
He was Grima Wormtongue in the Lord of the Rings movies.
Okay.
And he was on the TV show Deadwood for my cowboy fans.
I've never seen Deadwood.
It's really good.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Everybody's freaking out about this movie coming out.
Yeah, I haven't gotten around to it. I don't have HBO anymore, but Deadwood is really good. It was shot on a budget of $9 million, and the film grossed $44 million at the box office, which is pretty good for an 80s R-rated film.
Yeah, damn.
It spawned a ginormous franchise, and in my opinion, I think in many others, he rivals Michael, Freddy, and Jason. I think if there was a Mount Rushmore, I think an argument could be made that he deserves it more than Leatherface.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. That's always the way I've kind of seen it. It's been those are the big four. The composer was Joe Renzetti, an Academy Award winner for his work on the 1978 Buddy Holly story, and he also arranged the song Mandy from Barry Manilow.
Okay. So, quite an accomplished.
There's actually a lot of talent behind this. Yeah.
Yeah.
So with that, it's time to move on to the 60-second plot summary. We got to figure out a way to get you to start doing more of these because I am just...
Nah, I like it how it is.
But are you ready?
Yeah. I'll give you 3, 2, 1 and we can go.
All right.
All right. 3, 2, 1 go.
So Charles B. Ray is getting chased through the streets. His buddy leaves him. Detective Norris chases him into a toy store. He gets shot. He does this voodoo curse, puts himself inside the doll, and he dies. Flashback to Andy and his mom. His mom wants to give him the best gift ever, so she gets the buddy doll from the street merchant, gives it to her son, and there's something wrong with it. Chucky comes to life and kills Karen's friend. Everybody starts thinking it's Andy causing all these problems. I'm going way too fast. What happens? I am stumbling. I'm stumbling, Justin. I don't know.
I'm not here to save you.
Basically, the cops think that Andy did it, so they lock him up. Karen realizes that Chucky doesn't have batteries inside of him and is actually possessed by Charles V. Ray. Gets Detective Norris to believe her. They go and try to save Andy. Andy gets back to the house, chased by Chucky. They beat the crap out of Chucky, light him on fire. He still doesn't die. He attacks a cop's friend so that everybody else can believe him. And takes a shot to the heart to kill Chucky or Charles V. Ray. And they move on.
Times. Yeah.
Jeez, I don't know why I stumbled there. I started thinking about like what happened after the apartment scene and then I started tumbling. Oh, Lord. But yeah.
Yeah.
I brought it home. I stumbled.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how you're going to end up there, but you know, good. Good job.
All right. So plot. Very simple plot, right? Kid gets doll possessed by serial killer murderer freak and no one believes him when he tells him the doll's alive.
And you know what? Like it's a very simple plot, but I think they go into the like voodoo-ism behind it just enough, which isn't a lot, but it's like they kind of give you that like they give you like a little taste and it just really has you coming back for more and you want to know
more. No, you're absolutely right. That's actually one of my pros.
Yeah,
you said right. It's just it's a simple plot. They explain how it happened. with enough detail the voodoo, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Without going so far into it that it like obstructs from the plot of the film.
Exactly. They mention it just enough that you know it's there. You want to know more, but it's still to the point where you understand.
It's very like in simple. Scream with Sidney Prescott's mom. You know, yes. She was murdered. You know there's something going on behind the scenes with that. But they don't just spend half the movie dealing with characters' reactions to it, right?
Yeah.
So it's really good. The next pro that I have is that I think the focus on a single mom played really well in this movie. And it wasn't until this time watching it when I realized that the story really is about her. It's not about Andy.
Yeah, it's kind of like her having to deal with, well, like you said, being a single mom. I mean, like, she can't mm-hmm. be there for her kid's birthday. Yeah. Like that, yeah.
And like wanting to provide it for him, wanting to protect him. Like, her husband had died, and the cops think it's her son, but she knows it can't be him, and her son's not helping the situation at all. And we'll get into this when we review the new movie, but that was a change they made. But I do think, and I never realized it before, this movie focuses on Karen.
Yeah.
And I think it actually does a really, really good job at focusing on her plight as the main character.
Yeah, I mean, they even do, like, they do a good job. So, personally, up until you see Chucky, I forget where the first time you actually see him, like, be bad Chucky. I think it's when he...
Oh, come on, you know when. It's one of the most iconic scenes. That's one of my pros. It's one of the most iconic scenes in horror. Come on, think about it. What happens?
He turns his head around.
Yeah, but the build-up, right? The batteries fall out of the box.
He picks it up.
And he spins his head around.
I was trying to remember if you actually see him when he, like, hits Maggie in the face with a hammer. No. But, and he does that, like, weird roll. I swear, their apartment is on a slant or something. But I think they do a really good job of, especially, obviously this isn't the first time I've seen this movie, but the first time you watch this movie, you might even be not sure if Andy's telling the truth or not. I'm not sure how to convey that, but...
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I wasn't even born yet when the promotion for this film was coming out and all that stuff, right? So it takes almost until halfway into the movie before it's, like, official
that like
Chucky is alive.
And asshole.
mm-hmm. And it's a brilliant reveal, right? Just the way, especially the way Catherine Hicks plays that role, right? She's freaking out. Her son's in a mental asylum. She goes to the box. Batteries fall out. She's like, what is going on? Goes over, screams at it, turns him over, sees there's no batteries, head turns around, and then it's just on, right? And I don't know. Like, that reveal to me has always stuck with me. Like, to me, that's almost more iconic than melted Chucky stomping down the hallway.
Oh, melted Chucky is I think more iconic for me.
You think so? I mean, maybe as a kid, definitely, but I don't know. Like, because I watched the movie a bunch of times, right? And I don't know. Like, I think Catherine Hicks' performance in that, especially in this scene, is just so good. There's just so much going on.
Yeah, I will say I'm happy they didn't leave it up to Andy to kind of reveal that yes, Chucky's here and like
mm-hmm.
a bad guy, because I mean, we'll get into it in audio, but weak link.
Yep. So that's pretty much all my pros. One, it's not even a con, this is more like a middle thing, and I never really realized it until this last watch. Chucky doesn't die. He does not go down. Like, they light him on fire, they shoot off his limbs, they shoot off his head. He just, and I guess I never realized how much of a beating he takes before they actually put him down.
Yeah, well, something I actually kind of noticed, and I guess it's one of my, like, it's not really a con, it's just something I noticed that kind of bugged me, is they shoot him in the arm and it bleeds, right?
Yeah.
But later they're blowing off his limbs and it's just
he's
like
melted, nothing. So it's all cauterized, right?
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I have no idea. But like I said, the fact he won't die, just leads to the fact that he's not bleeding, it's not a con, it's more like, okay.
Yeah.
a little much. Like, I'm fine with it, I enjoyed it, but maybe a little much.
One of the cons, and again, it's not like, it's not even like really a big con, it just kind of got to me a little bit, is after the cop is attacked, mm-hmm. when he sees Karen, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, like, where's your son or whatever. He doesn't actually tell Karen that, yeah, I saw Chucky. And it bugs the hell out of me because she had just gone and told him, like, it's Chucky. Chucky's real. He drives away, goes back to the office, gets attacked by Chucky, sees it's Chucky, doesn't say anything to her.
You don't think it's implied?
No. I feel like for that, I would have felt better. Again, like, it's not even like a huge con. It just, mm-hmm. I would have felt better if he was like, you were right. Chucky is alive. But no, it's just, yeah. Anyway, it's not a huge con. Didn't really take
any points. Just to follow it up, because this was one of my cons, is it's always been really strange to me how big of a jerk he is, Detective Harris.
Oh, yeah, like, he's an asshole.
Yeah, he's just not a, like, and I've always felt that way, right?
Yeah.
He's just kind of a good, like you said, he's just a dick. He's just not a good character. You don't care about him. You don't really, you aren't invested in him. And I've always felt that way about his character. It's just not a good guy.
He's very, like, I mean, I know, like, the 80s was, like, the Wild West, but.
Yeah.
he seems, like, too much of an asshole.
Yeah. And then the last note I have here is that Andy might have a talking serial killer doll, but there's no way a 6-year-old kid is moving around the big city with the ease that he is able to move around the big city. Like, not only would a cop pick him up, but there's, like, other people. There's no way a little kid like that is just moving freely throughout the city.
Actually, my wife actually mentioned, she's like, why is nobody, like, asking this kid what the hell he's doing on a train?
Yeah, there's tons of people around, too, right? In the middle of the day. And it's just, this 6-year-old kid with his doll going to the ghetto or the slums or whatever you want to call this abandoned house and just hanging out.
Yeah, it's I will say, no, you know what? That's I'll save that for when we talk about the acting. But
all right, perfect. Yeah. So with that, then I gave it a 7.
I actually gave it an 8. Yeah, I don't know. It's a simple plot and it's fun. And I mean, in the end, that's what I was here for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Cinematography. So, I mean, overall, the biggest thing you can say for cinematography, just like the aesthetic, it has that late 80s feel to it.
Which is like, it's like a pro and a con for me, kind of, because I feel like...
I have it as a pro and a con for myself, too.
Yeah, like, it's a nice... I think 80s movies are... The aesthetic is always nice. Well, not, mm-hmm. like, nice, but it's always, like, good. But unless they do something crazy with it, unless they find a way to, like, make it pop. I mean, whenever I think of 80s aesthetic that works for me, I always think of RoboCop for some reason.
Well, no, it's funny you say that, because, like, this film, RoboCop, Goonies, Big, like, all those movies that came out in the 80s, like, even if you weren't told and you didn't recognize the actors, I bet you could guess they all came from the same decade, because they just have that feel. And there's no other decade in cinema that I can personally think of that has that overarching feel to them.
Well, especially like in horror specifically, like I think a lot of horror movies from the 80s, mm-hmm. you can tell because they all look the same
the difference between Halloween 2 and Halloween 4, right? We won't talk about Season of the Witch because it's not the same thing, but think about Halloween 2 and then the feel of Halloween 4.
Yeah,
like it's just so. All movies do it, and I don't know what was in the water during the 80s or why they decided to use, like, if it was like a filter on the lens or what it was. But all 80s movies had the same feel. Child's Play absolutely has it. It's not really a con, but it's definitely not a pro either.
Yeah, it makes it seem unimportant, like the whole aesthetic to it.
Yeah, I will say though, this film does an amazing job bringing Chucky to life.
Yes, actually, that was one of my pros, is that even when you can, I mean, especially from a movie from the 80s, you can definitely notice when there's an actor in a Chucky suit.
Yes.
Versus like when they're actually just using, I think it was like a puppet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But even though you can
physically... And they use the apartment to their ability too, right? To be able to move him without being seen, like the couches and stuff they use.
Yeah.
Which is smart. It's smart filmmaking.
And like I feel that even though you can definitely notice the switch,
mm-hmm.
it still doesn't take you out of it. And it like if anything, when he is, when there's a, when he, there's an actor in a suit, it's actually like more terrifying.
Yeah, at times you're definitely right. And the big thing for me is actually the build up to Chucky's big reveal, right? Because it was shot from like a lower point of view shot. You can kind of see the hand once in a while. And I think if someone somehow was living on a desert island and you brought them into here and had them watch this movie and paused it before the big reveal,
yeah,
I bet you could probably convince that person that it was Andy. Just the way it was shot. And I
yeah,
thought
no,
it was
I agree.
Yeah. And then I liked how they further reinforced that by Chucky whispering to Andy.
And
nobody else can hear it because he's like whispering really quietly. Like, it just further reinforces that, right? And I always just love that little bit of like subterfuge from the filmmaker, right? Just a little bit of like, are you sure this is the movie you think it is? Are you sure it's actually a killer doll and it's not a crazy kid? I always really appreciated that.
Yeah, and like, I will say one of my favorite shots, I mean, we've already kind of brought it up, is the melting Chucky.
Yes.
I think it was like filmed perfectly. I don't know how, like, it's so creepy. Like the
slow walk and the melting, like falling pieces falling off and stuff.
Yeah, it's just it's creepy and it's great. I mean, even now, I think it looks amazing.
Yeah. And actually, this film has one of my favorite kill scenes in all of like slasher films with the doctor.
Oh, okay.
It's because the doctor
voodoo doll.
He's always had that creepy vibe. And when you're a kid, you don't like the doctor and stuff, right? But when he trying to stab Andy to like put him out and not believe in him, and then Chucky comes and throws the electrocution thing on his head and is shocked to death, and his face starts burning and his eyes start bleeding. Like, I always thought that
Hold on. They start bleeding for like a couple frames.
Well, they still do it for an 80s film. That's a lot. Yeah. Eli Roth hadn't been out here yet slicing people in bits. But no, I always just like that death scene because the doctor definitely had it coming. And it's always fun when you can get behind someone getting killed in a movie. Like, all right, you suck. All right, I don't feel bad. I'll enjoy this one.
Something else I will bring up is I enjoy the way that you feel comfortable. Well, not comfortable, but I feel like by the end of the movie, you know the apartment layout very well.
Yeah.
And so you kind of, I mean, granted, it's only like, I think like four rooms. I'm trying to count now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rooms.
Uh-huh.
And the hallway. And because it's such a small area and they spend a lot of time in this apartment, kind of cut up throughout the movie, you know, like, you know when they're in that one room that, yes, chucking can come from the hallway or the bathroom. You're thinking about it before the characters even thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I always like movies that give you a sense of like direction, I guess. Like,
it's why The Conjuring's so good, right? Is that when the family first gets to that house, they absolutely establish the layout of the house, how the characters interact with the layout of the house, and it helps you know when you hear sounds or you hear bumps or you see characters move throughout the scene. It's like almost a play, right? It's like you know exactly where things are at. So moving on to cons, like I already talked about the dirty 80s aesthetic. There was some sloppy editing, like some choppy scenes at times. Yeah. And then, I don't know, maybe Michael Bay was like an uncredited worker on this film, but the house explosion.
Yeah, that kind of bugged me.
Super excessive. Excessive.
I mean, I'm kind of there with you. Again, the 80s thing, kind of all these movies bleed together.
Yeah.
The cuts were sometimes very noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's not always a bad thing, but when it's like sloppy, it can be rough.
All right, so with that, I gave it a 7.
I also gave it a 7.
All right, Justin, moving on to audio. First thing we have to talk about, because it would be a shame if we didn't, Brad Dourif.
Oh, right, bros first.
Yes, Brad Dourif. I mean, we'll get to Mark Hamill's performance, but Brad Dourif is Chucky.
Yeah, it's... He's got that iconic voice.
He
works.
He's Charles Lee Ray, and that will always be his character.
Well, yeah, and I mean, thinking about it, even now, like, again, kind of bringing up the remake a little in a weird way, when Chucky first opened his mouth in the remake, I was like, oh, yeah, it's going to sound just like him.
Yep.
No,
it took me a few seconds, too. Yep.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, forever, whenever I hear Brad Dourif's voice, it's going to be Chucky to me. Like,
And that's not a mark on, that's not a knock on Mark Hamill's performance.
Oh no, like, God, no.
And we will get to that. It's not the same thing as like Robert Englund and what's his face in, from the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street.
I can't think of his name, but yeah
no, it's not that kind of comparison. It's just he played him for so many movies, and he, especially in Bride of Chucky, Seed of Chucky, and Cult and Curse, which you haven't seen yet, like he is the driving force behind it.
Yeah.
Like, that is the performer, that is the character who really pushes the limit. And I don't know, he does an amazing job. You feel his anger, you feel the comedy, you feel everything for him. And I don't know, like, the scene where he's sitting there talking to the voodoo guy is just so good. And it's just great voice work. And obviously the puppeteers did a great job too, getting like the facial expressions and stuff.
Yeah. And
I don't know, like, all props to Mark Hamill, but Brad Dourif is Chucky and will be Chucky forever.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think, again, it's not a knock against Mark Hamill, because I personally, I'll say this right now, I think Mark Hamill did a great job.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. But like you said, like...
I mean, it's Mark Hamill, I mean, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Luke Skywalker and the Joker can't do anything bad, I don't think. Except for The Last Jedi.
Anyways, I'm not talking about The Last Jedi. I think you're right. It's just he has been Chucky for so long. I mean, This movie came out in 88. So that's
31 years.
31 years he's been Chucky.
It's insane.
Like,
and he still is, right? Like, I want to get. I'm actually working on next week explaining how, even though Don Mancini is working on a TV show and continuing the film series, how this remake was able to be done. It's actually kind of interesting. So next week I'll go into that further. But, okay.
I look forward to hearing that.
Yeah, it's really cool. Next pro that I have is I've always been a big fan of Catherine Hicks' performance as Andy's mom.
No, she does a great job.
I think a lot of times when we have the mom confused with what's going on around her, especially in these 80s films, like it comes across as fake and the kid acting isn't very good, which we'll get to.
Yep.
That it further amplifies that problem, and then on top of all of that, when you're working with a doll and an actor who's not actually there, it can be hard. But I don't know, she definitely gives that feeling of like hopelessness, of being lost. You definitely get that genuine terror of her being afraid of Chucky, especially when she realizes he's alive. And I don't know, I always thought it was a really, really good performance on her end. Like I always thought it was brilliant, and that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree, because I mean, she really conveys being a single mom really good. And you can tell that, I mean, for 90% of when she realizes something is happening to her son, you can like hear the fear in her voice. And I think she nails it. Like, she knocks it out of the park.
Yeah. And the last pro I have before we get into cons is this score is iconic. It's been a while since we've had one, but the Child's Play score is iconic. I mean, you hear it and you know immediately what you're about to get into.
Yeah, and it was fun. It's a fun soundtrack too.
Yeah, it's not as scary as like a Halloween theme, and I think that fits this movie better, right? Because Chucky's kind of funny in his own sadistic, dark way.
Yeah,
no, so I agree. You still have the ominous feel, but it's definitely unique to Chucky, and it is very memorable. So I have two cons. One is Andy and one is Detective Harris. For Andy, that kid might have been cute, but sometimes he struggled.
I actually, I feel bad for saying this, because I don't know. I feel bad kind of bad-mouthing kid actors. Granted, he is not a kid. He is older than me now.
Yes.
He was, to me, the weakest part of this film.
I disagree with that. We'll get to it, but I disagree with that. I think he was weak, but I don't think he was the weakest.
He's
so cute.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything to me.
And then there's that one scene where he's backing up and he falls into the corner when Chucky's chasing him. His acting might have been his vocal acting might have been but I think that his reactions to the doll were pretty good.
Personally, I actually think the backing up scene was laughable.
It was cute. I mean, it's a little kid freaking out about a killer doll.
Yeah.
I thought you had kids. You're supposed to be the more sentimental one.
Speaking of, though, I will give him props for when he's like up against the door crying because nobody's helping him. I wanted to cry for him. Other than that, though, I don't know. I could do without him personally.
Well, you can't do without him because Andy is like the Sidney Prescott of the Child's Play franchise. So you can't get rid of him that easily. But that's fine. But to me, the weakest part and probably the most prestigious actor in this movie was Detective Harris. And it's so crazy because I love him in Fright Night. Like, Jerry Dandridge, it was amazing. And one of the coolest vampires of all time. But in this movie, Harris, the detective, comes across like a jerk.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to care that he's there. He doesn't react to the situations like you'd expect a grizzled cop to react.
Yeah.
He's really mean to Andy's mom. Like, really mean. Like, when she's freaking out about it and he throws her out of the car, he's really just kind of a jerk. And he only gets stabbed in the leg and he's, like, down for the whole big climactic fight scene. And, like, he flipped the car and was able to react to that situation, right? But a stabbed leg took him down. I don't know. I always just... I really don't like that performance. And it's just this movie, too, because, like I said, I loved him as Jerry Dandridge.
So, do you think maybe that it's not really the performance, it's how he was written? Like,
maybe.
Because, like, but, you said, I mean, if but, you but, enjoy like, him and everything else, like his...
Yeah, I mean, I did like him in Dog Day Afternoon as well, and I don't know. I just... I mean, Chris Sarandon's a good actor, but in this movie, I don't like him. Like, I don't like his character. I don't like the performance of the character. I groan when he's on screen. I didn't think he did a very good job at the beginning of the movie during the big, like, chase scene and everything. I just... I don't know. I don't like him.
No, I...
And thankfully, he's not in a lot of the movie.
Yeah, I agree. He's not a good character, but I think, personally, I think it was how he is written.
It very well could have been.
Because I something else I noticed is his like partner guy is also poorly written.
Yeah, but thank God he's barely in there.
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe they just don't know how to write cops.
Yeah, maybe so. I have no idea. But
yeah.
But yeah, so with all that being said, I gave it 7.5.
I gave it a 6.
Yeah, like I said, even though Andy was blah and Harris was terrible, I mean, you have Brad Dourif, man. The very first time. Doesn't put on the mask, but he steps inside the child doll.
You know, I will say, I was always thinking, you know what? What if he grabbed, like, a board game instead? What would that movie be?
Not this. It would not be this. All right, so moving on to the last category, and that's how scary. So, I mentioned this when we started the review and everything. I've been talking about it a little bit in Discord, but Chucky really messed me up as a kid. I saw this movie when I was young, and like I said, I had a doll, a buddy doll, and I remember getting in a lot of trouble because I ripped its head off.
Yeah.
My parents came home and saw that I decapitated it, and they were mad, like, why did you do that? And I said, I watched this movie, and then that was a whole thing. And, like, my sisters have these life-size Barbie dolls, and, like, my parents would, like, my dad in particular found it funny to leave them standing up. Like, in the basement. That's where my bedroom was. So I would come downstairs.
I'm sorry for laughing.
And my dad messed me up. That's also, I mean, that's also the reason I'm afraid of spiders. Quick side note. We were watching Arachnophobia, and he rolled a Nerf ball underneath my feet when I was walking across the living room, and I stepped on it.
Ugh.
That is the first moment I realized I was afraid of spiders, and that is my biggest fear to this day. But there you go. But yeah, Chucky always terrified me. And even... rewatching this movie, it's not as scary now, right? And we'll talk about the remake next week, but there's still something inherently terrifying about the idea of an object or a thing that's supposed to be harmless and just like in the background being malevolent. And it's kind of the reason why I always wanted Annabelle and The Boy and any kind of movie that takes on the possessed doll to kind of have the same impact that Child's Play did. And they never really do. The only one that ever came close was Slappy in the Goosebumps TV show.
Oh, Slappy's a creepy guy.
Yeah. And I mean, it's actually funny. I got in trouble. I showed Devin's nephew Night of the Living Dummy 3, one with Hayden Christensen.
Nope.
And he couldn't sleep for like a week, and I got in trouble for that one, but I guess I didn't think about it. But it's actually been kind of like my biggest letdown is that no one, again, not talking about this past remake, but there hasn't been anybody really bringing that same kind of horror to the doll genre, like the possessed toy or whatever. Like they've tried and they've done really goofy things, but Chucky really stands alone. And we talked about this with Allison when we had her on the podcast. And Chucky also has come to stand for a lot more, right, than just the horror figure. He's even kind of, because of Don Mancini and his activism in the LGBTQ community, like, and the inherent stuff that he's put into the characters in Child's Play, there's a lot more behind it. And I don't know. I think because of that, I think Chucky is very scary for a multitude of reasons. And to me personally, was one of the more terrifying things growing up.
So on the complete opposite side of that for me, I've never found Chucky scary.
Really?
I remember my brother showing me Child's Play when I was very, very young. I was probably five or six.
Yeah.
And it didn't really have an effect on me. I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street had a very big effect on me because I dream.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, Child's Play has just never really had an effect on me. I have a sister. She has dolls. Well, she doesn't anymore, obviously, but she had dolls. And yeah, I don't know. It just, Chucky's never really stuck with me. I can agree with you that he's scary for, he's not like physically scary, I guess you could say, in a way, as the other slashers are physically scary.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't know. He's never really done it for me, I guess you could say. Like, he's always been that goofy, laughable.
Yeah, and honestly, like, that's fine. And going back to this is the first time I've seen this movie in a few years, and I was really prepared for the worst. But even though it was cheesy at times, it wasn't nearly as bad as what I had mentally prepared myself for.
Yeah.
And outside of Detective Harris really just being like a crappy character, the movie was good. It wasn't as scary. But when we review this, we talked about it before, just a refresher. When we review movies we've seen multiple times, we also put into our score our first experiences and the lasting impression.
Yeah.
So it's just, I was still scared at point, especially when he was stomping down the hallway, all melted and stuff. Like, or the other scene that always really bugged me is in the mental asylum when he's climbing up the stairs and then like chasing Andy around. Like, that always bothered me. And I don't know. I think Chucky is scary. The more we look into this iteration of Chucky, and like I said, from our conversation with Allison and just reading more about it, I think there's a horror there for a far different reason. We went into the episode. You can listen to the episode if you want to hear more about that. But I don't know. I think Chucky's iconic. I definitely think he is the Mount Rushmore of the horror slashers. And he messed me up as a kid, man. Like,
yeah,
I said.
No, I mean, I can definitely see
why. He's a terrifying guy.
Yeah. No, I can,
and Brad
I can
Dourif
see why.
Brought him to life. but with all that, hopefully I made my case clear. I gave it an 8.
I get a 5. Not another 3. Don't worry, Larry. Yeah, I don't know. He just, like I said, he just personally to me, like, I can understand why he messed up a lot of childhoods. But yeah, I don't know why, but for some reason, he just never really had the effect on me of like being scary. He's definitely iconic. I agree with you there, but he's never really. Like, even in, like, your Mount Rushmore thing, like, to me, there isn't 4 heads. There'd just be 3.
Really?
I wouldn't include Leatherface or Chucky, to be honest.
Yeah, but I think it also goes just to not lived experiences, but, like, your introduction to the character and yeah. like, when you came across it, at what point in your life, like, things around you. I mean, I think that maybe someone who watched Arachnophobia wouldn't have caused them to develop arachnophobia like I have. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like
yeah.
There's just certain things you watch at certain times in your life, and you'll just never forget them. Like, we're going to get to this one eventually, but when we get to High Tension.
Oh, man. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Like, there are just certain movies, if you catch it at the right time of your development, for lack of a better word, right?
No, I get what you're saying. It sticks with you.
And Charles Lee Ray and Chucky, they are there for me. All right, so... Overview the scores. For plot, I gave it a 7. Justin gave it an 8. For cinematography, we both gave it 7s. For audio, I gave it a 7.5. Justin gave it a 6. And for how scary, I gave it an 8. Justin gave it a 5. That gives it a Here's Johnny score of a 69% D+, which sets it right below Brightburn and right above The Last of Us, which is not a horror game.
Man, I don't. It's weird hearing Brightburn.
Brightburn has the same score as it, 69%.
It's weird because, like, I think Brightburn is the first movie in a long time that I've seen that the more I think about it, the more I dislike it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you think about it, thinking back to it, the reason why its scores are kind of higher is I gave it more love than you did, but you gave it a 7 for audio, where you gave this one a 6. You gave it an 8 for cinematography, where you gave this one a 7. And I think both those are more clear because the acting and the cinematography were just better.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
And that's the only yeah. scores that you gave higher than this. I liked it more, and I still do like it more.
Yeah.
But I also like superhero stuff, I think, more than you do.
Yeah, I don't really care for it.
but the last thing we need to discuss before we end this review is place it into a subgenre. I think it's super easy. Transform Man.
Yeah, see, it's funny because for a while I wasn't sure if we were going to go Transform Man or even like Ghost. But then I guess we never really like,
I don't think it's a ghost because he's not dead. He transferred his life into the doll and he could transfer it back out.
And that's why I agree with Transform Man. Like I was thinking ghost at first.
Yeah, the only thing I might have entertained besides it is if you made a case for religion with the voodoo.
Yeah.
But that would have been like the only counter argument I think I would have heard.
Yeah, no, that's fair. No, it's definitely Transform Man though. So,
all right, guys, so that's a review of Child's Play. Definitely go see it if you haven't seen it. Don't know where you've been. It's amazing. Show it to your kids. Traumatize them like I got traumatized. And with that, we're gonna wrap this up and head on in to the closing following this commercial from our sister network, Wizard Studies.
Do you ever wish you could take a class on Harry Potter? We did, and that's why we started Wizard Studies Podcast and joined Kaleidoscope Media Network to work with this and other podcasts.
On Wizard Studies, we discuss all kinds of topics from the wizarding world, from character profiles to Hogwarts house breakdowns. No matter how much you know or don't know, Wizard Studies is the place for you.
You can find us on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Join us,
Katie,
and Audrey, as we peruse all things Potter.
I am so very happy we reviewed this before we reviewed the new movie.
Yeah. Actually, I guess for people that don't know, which is everybody except for Larry and I actually tried to talk Larry into doing the remake before we did this one because I wanted to get like our fresh takes on the remake.
Well, I already had my notes written for the remake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I actually wrote it as soon as I left the theater. I went to the coffee shop across the theater and wrote it all.
Man, that remake. I can't say it.
That's
can't
next week,
enough.
Guys.
I know.
It's going to be a lot of fun. If you've seen it, send us some emails. Let us know your thoughts on it. But it was a blast.
Yeah.
Very, very excited to review that one. No, I mean, like I said, if you haven't seen Child's Play, we were talking to Seagram, and I know he has actually never seen it. And I think this is one you got to see. This is on the same level as Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, and the original Halloween. Like, this is required horror cinema if you're into slashers or horror at all.
I would actually even go as far to say, like, I don't remember, like, Child's Play 3 and on until Bride. I don't even know how many are in between there, but...
There's two, 3, then Bride.
Oh, okay. So I don't really remember 3, but I would even go as far to say, like, if you're going to watch 1, you should just watch 2 as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Justin, any last thoughts before we wrap this up and head on in to next week?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if you haven't seen Child's Play, go see it. If you get a chance to go see Midsommar, go see it, because I might not be able to.
Hopefully you will. Don't worry, we are still going to be reviewing that. Like we announced during last week's episode, we were having on Rachel from Zombie Girls to review that one with us. So worst case scenario, just be me and Rachel. Hopefully best, and the actual scenario will be Justin too. We'll see how that goes. But with that, guys, I can't think of anything else to say, Justin.
So we had to record one of our episodes a little early because I'm going to be out of town in a couple weeks.
Okay.
For Silent Hill 2.
Yep.
Unfortunately, we won't be taking thoughts or feedback on that game, but I've just started editing it, and I'm really looking forward to you guys hearing it. It is an amazing review.
Yeah, Whitney had a lot to share.
Yeah.
But yeah, guys, try to leave us an iTunes review. It always helps us find more people. Tell your friends about us. Look for the American Psycho Patreon special to come out. For $1 a month, you get access and get to hear me say dirty words. But with that, guys, we're going to wrap this episode up. And until next week, stay scary. The Here's Johnny podcast is brought to you by Larry and Justin. You can find the show on Twitter at Here's Johnny Cast, and you can find Larry at Beaver LA.
You can find Justin at Pickle Thing, and you can email the show at heresjohnnypodcast@gmail.com. You can look us up on Facebook at Here's Johnny Podcast.
As always, in the show notes, you can find links to the Discord and to the website. We are also on Instagram at heresjohnny_podcast.
Also in the show notes, we'll have a link to the Twitch and YouTube channels. And if you would like to support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com/heresjohnnypodcast. Every cent goes into the show. And yeah, we just really use it to make the show better. Again, I just want to say thank you very much to our patrons. You guys help make this possible.
But yeah, Patreon is the way we support the show. We aren't looking to get rich. And like Justin said, every dollar, every cent, it all goes back in. There's some pretty cool tiers, so head on and look at that.
But until next week, see you guys later.